It's time to make your UK visa digital. If you have a BRP card that expires on the 31st of December 2024 or a stamp or vignette sticker in your passport, you should change to an e-visa now. This means it will never be lost and can be accessed online at any time to prove your right to live, work or study in the UK. It's free and your immigration status won't be affected. Find out more now at gov.uk/e-visa.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
My team really sucks. Yes, my teams really, really suck. Yes, my teams. Congratulations to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Did
Monday
you know
night football.
When you went to bed last night, it was a loss, or did you get to wake up to it?
I knew it was a loss.
Oh, that's sad.
I was attempting to go to bed early. This is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Giants aren't going to let you do that. That would be helpful
so they're
for
not
their fans.
Only, they'd only suck as a team. They're impolite.
Yeah, they wouldn't collapse in the first half, allowing me to come in here non-sleep deprived the following day. What they have to do is hang in and create an illusion of competence, which they do not possess.
Perhaps you were hoping for a Commanders-like Hail Mary conclusion to your game.
No such thing could even
wait another
happen.
25 years.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And by the way, that guy Marshall Green, if we can reach out to Marshall Green, the Giants host, he is offering I want to thank him for offering a service to the Giants faithful. He is a very depressed fan who watches the game and live streams at the same time. And I don't mind giving him a plug because he makes me. He takes all the angst and the depression on his own shoulders, and it's wonderful because it makes me feel like I don't have to be as stressed.
Do you suppose he carries that live stream with the express written consent of the National Football League?
I have no idea.
No, probably no audio. He's
okay.
He just doesn't have audio. No, he has no audio.
Yeah, you turn it down or it's just you. You know, Mike, years ago when the Orioles were really, really bad for a really long stretch, I had a psychologist reach out to my Orioles podcast to let me know that he wanted to come on because he has been seeing clients to counsel them through dealing with their team's losses.
Hello, is this Josh Schroeker? Listen, I know there's a lot of sad people out there, and I want to come on your podcast.
Apparently it's money and listening to people complain about the teams.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Rooting for teams, having my son participate, playing sports a huge part of my life. And I love every minute. I wouldn't change a thing. But when on occasion, and I know probably people are burned out with me talking about my New York Giants, but I have to say this, that when you're the reason I bring it up is because when your team is horrific, with no light at the end of the tunnel.
Nothing
to hope for. No light at the end of the tunnel. Well, that's the NFL, really, because when you're in the middle of it, it just doesn't seem like there's any way out. And the reason it doesn't seem like there's any way out is they can't make quick changes like baseball can. Baseball can make a trade, dump a guy, and bring somebody in, and they can literally run from one dugout to the other dugout and play that night for the team they were traded to. Football, much more of a lengthy process,
and
even
also,
with a trade deadline.
And also, I mean, baseball, many, many games. Lots of chances to reverse whatever direction you're headed at.
The and NFL, if there's one big flaw with the NFL.
Yeah. Only one?
Well, probably multifold.
Yeah.
But the flaw is this whole salary cap, the money where they have to lock in, and the owners got to get their cut, and the players got to get their cut, and they can lock. When you have a system, ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
When you have an effing system that saddles a franchise with tens, and I mean tens of million dollars, being paid to a dork, an absolute doofus named Daniel Jones.
Yes.
As my father, God rest his soul, would say, a man, when it comes to passing, couldn't hit an elephant in the anus with a broom.
Who's the backup?
Drew Luck.
Hey, lots of luck.
Is it Drew? Andrew Luck? I don't know. Luck.
Bad luck.
Luck.
Drew Lock was a quarterback at one
Drew
point.
Drew Lock.
That might be
Drew
who
Lock.
You have.
Yeah.
Is he old?
And then Tommy DeVito.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I thought you guys all loved Tommy DeVito.
No.
He had a few really games.
I'd rather see preseason. Him in there right now. The Giants fans would rather see anything going on right now.
Mike.
You're watching two guys commit to a guy who is sucking them into the abyss.
Can you go back to what's wrong with the NFL overall?
The problems with the NFL are multifold.
Yes.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating because they just get sucked in by this guy every single week with his bad eye, with his wandering, stupid eye. So depressing. So last night, the only thing I had going for me, I literally said this to a buddy of mine, who was wearing on the golf course yesterday.
Yes.
Pittsburgh Steelers colors, including shoes. Nice look, Greg.
What if the Giants were having a spectacular year?
No.
Were you wear Giants colors on the course?
No, I snuck a little political bracelet in there.
Well, no, it's not about politics,
well.
Mike.
Well, no, but I mean, I'm sorry. That's all I do. I try to keep it subtle, and then
looks
I'll
like
wear
a Taylor Swift. It looks more like a Taylor Swift bracelet.
Yeah, it looks like he just got back from the concert.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that
I've worn these before for Four Ocean and these little things, and I loved it because there wasn't one person that picked up on it because men don't look at other men's wrists.
I do. By the way,
I bought this. I bought this on my own, and this is a Credo bracelet that I bought, and this raises money for getting service dogs for soldiers with PTSD.
Okay, that I love.
I like that.
I think it's Hero something. I'm not sure. I don't want to give the improper
location for that. My wife wears bracelets like that like tracks animals, so then she can look on her phone and see like where in the world the animal is.
Oh, that's
the GPS.
That's great.
Except the animals keep dying.
Now, not because.
Well, I mean, are these her animals?
No. It's like you can. It's a type of bracelet you can buy like that, but it tracks. Like you can look up the little GPS thing, and it shows you where the animal is.
And then your wife.
World.
Now, I was only half listening. So the GPS picks up the dog, and your wife goes and kills it.
I don't know. It's like. Look, here's my. You can see my penguin on this map, and then a week later, the penguin hasn't moved in 4 days.
Josh, is this the first time you've come to the show high? Because I don't know about anyone that's tracking penguins on their phone.
Or as Benedict Cumberbatch would say, penguins.
It's just like that bracelet.
Oh, that's right, penguin.
Penguins. A guy that did a documentary about penguins, and he could not pronounce. If anybody can find that video with Benedict, it was on the Graham Norton show.
Yeah, he can't say it.
It's Benedict Cumberbatch talking about penguins. And penguins.
We have it on here a couple months ago, I think.
I think we did. I think we did, actually had that on there, which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And I love it when somebody owns it. Mad respect for Benedict Cumberbatch of getting on the show. And by the way, pretty close to the best talk show of its kind on TV right now,
currently,
Graham Norton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, really just, maintains the format of bringing guests out and having them all sit on the couch. Which they gave up on a long time when they caved to publicists about people coming on regular television shows.
That doesn't generate TikTok moments. You have to make the guests do a fake impression roulette sequence.
Well, now the guests are TikTok people.
Yeah,
yes,
that's true too. Mm-hmm.
And here is Benedict.
This is all the questions we had.
Yeah.
The one that came up most often was ask Benedict to say the word penguin.
I love
this.
What
is this about?
Well, apparently I got it wrong repeatedly in the documentary, and now I'm completely terrified of the word. I don't go near it.
The first one you sort of get away with, and then after that you lose all sense of what the word is. Let's have a look. Listen carefully.
This is
the last thing you might expect to see here is penguins.
Penguins?
These are Fiordland crested penguins, named after this corner of South New Zealand. So why are these woodlands so attractive to penguins? A freshwater stream through the forest makes a handy highway for a parent penguin heading home from a fishing trip.
You're doing a documentary on penguins and you can't pronounce it.
And how many people are watching him? How many people are watching him record it, saying penguins, and not stopping?
What happened?
Or is that the best they could do? You know, there's a similar outtake, and I played it years ago with Shatner a long time ago. It was actually doing voiceover for the Star Trek cartoons, and he wouldn't say sabotage. I think he was saying sabotage, and he says,
"Well sabotage might be, but that's not close to penguin."
No, it's not. But they stop Shatner, and he says, "Well, that's what I say."
Denny Train. There I go. That's fantastic. I love that. I can only think that perhaps a disinterested or weak-minded engineer in the recording session. By the way, I've been the victim of that on this show. I've had you guys know that I was screwing something up. Not you guys specifically, but I know Rob definitely in the past, where I would mess something up and I'm just rolling with it like for a long time, and then maybe somebody brings it up after the fact. And I've had that happen.
We had it with Rob just a couple weeks ago. Rob, what's our sponsor?
Momentous. It's
there
Momentous.
Momentous.
Yeah.
And what did you say?
Momentous. Because you know what? Your eyes lie to you sometimes. There's no I in there to make it momentous. It's momentous.
No. What do you mean your eyes lie to you?
You see a word and you say it.
Wait. How can you detach the responsibility on your own body?
I'm not. I totally blew it, and I apologize to the client.
Don't go into that.
No.
Rote apology that you have. I'm not talking about that. This is you. What did you say? What was that bullshit that you just said about the stopping down.
Oh, this will be fun.
Sometime. Yeah, well, because you're not owning it, really. What did you say? The eyes? What is it? What was the answer you had?
Have you ever glanced at a word and made it seem like another word? You know, it's just like if you look at
You mean have I ever read a word incorrectly and mispronounced it?
No. Like, if you were to sometimes look at the word, I can't even think of an example right now. But, like...
Because you're like, swimming in, like, BS. That's why.
Right. You're saying, like...
No, I'm saying I screwed up.
If the word was Brad and you read it as braid, you're just imagining an I in there.
Yeah, something wrong.
I'm focusing on the way you said it. Sometimes... You took your own body and detached from it what was the quote? What was the? Do you remember your quote?
Sometimes your eyes deceive you. Something
It was like sometimes my eyes see things that aren't there.
Okay, well, you know what? That too. If you see a word,
that's not true.
Well, Mike, why would I? What you're implying is that I went through and specifically said something wrong because I didn't read it right.
No,
I'm
100% incorrect.
I'm
not saying that at all.
I saw it wrong
about five times in the read.
And I'd never, you know what? I'd never heard it. I'd read about it. I'd communicate.
I really wish we could roll the tape back. It's just the way you said that was amazing to me. That was just it was a different way of sometimes the eyes it was not the eyes deceive or the eyes betray you, but it was you taking your eyes and blaming them instead of you.
No. If anything, I blame my own brain, which is a big part of me. If you see a word that looks like a word And keep in mind, when we are
I've
doing
it,
I've
done it a thousand times. That's the problem, Mike,
is that you are, I can't, what have I told you? My least favorite thing is when you're not here is hate reading copy.
I didn't know that.
I'm not good at it.
I didn't know that.
I've told you
I had
this.
No idea.
And
I had
you
no
are.
Idea. I don't remember that. I don't remember you saying that. I've never been aware that you had that big a problem with
you. You were gone a week, and you came back, and you know, I think you said, you know, thank you for taking care of things, and I said it was fun, God, but I did miss the fact.
You know, I don't process it that way. As far as the that would be, because I would be aware of you having issues with it. I didn't know that it. It is something you don't dig. I don't savor it because
you know why? If I was next to someone who was at the same skill level at reading copy as me, I'd be fine. But you are so good at it, it drives
me
crazy.
Then?
What's that? Yeah, that'd be great, Josh.
That'd help you out.
Yeah.
But it was just funny. Josh, it was funny the way you articulated that.
Josh sees the word momentous and he says powder.
Well, Josh... Oh, by the way, I want to cover this.
Eyes just don't see those G's.
Yeah, so I apologize, Mike. I did not mean to.
Josh had
up,
one of the
not...
one. I did not correct him on the thread on
okay.
the text thread yesterday. Josh had one of the all time. Oh, you screwed it up big time.
Oh,
but I didn't.
Right.
But at the moment, I was in full support mode.
Because I was
for
a little
you.
Frustrated at the time.
I was in full support, and I still am in that full support mode. I want to make sure. But was that the group? Rob, did we get that in the group when Josh was talking about the hate?
Yeah.
All right, Rob knows the mistake too. So if Rob could share so here's what it is. We are a divided nation.
Right.
We are 1 week away from the election. We've got some election fun today I put together a little quiz that I'm going to offer the guys for really modern election history, which there's been a ton of it. And because we had some election discussion and because, Josh has been open and honest about.
I have a blocker person.
Who he likes.
Yes.
And I'm honest and open. I have, for a very, very long time. Not only taken crap from people that disagree with me politically, but at the same time, I think that many of the sites that are created, if you really dug a few layers down, you'd find that might be a bit politically motivated. I'm pretty sure that would be the case. So Josh comes on yesterday, and we're discussing the issue at Madison Square Garden, and Josh is giving his opinion, which, by the way, he is more than welcome on this show with my name on it to give at any time at all, because that's fine. And by the way, it has, and I think I would hope that Josh would back me up on this, it has nothing to do with our working relationship.
No.
And I think that has been demonstrated both on and off the air.
I think we only talk politics on the air.
I really do. I think that's the way we do it.
As opposed to me and Josh, we talk a lot at night.
Right. We FaceTime
politics a lot.
So Josh feels the hate that's coming from a listener from the left who is, who doesn't necessarily, maybe because I live in a red state and an incredibly red and angry red county, I have grown accustomed to strategies that I implement for dealing with people. And that main strategy is I'm not going to tell you anything that's going to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to tell me anything that's going to change
my mind. This guy changed my mind.
This guy made you dig in even more.
No,
but
he changed my mind. Unfortunately, I voted last week, so I can't take it back.
Darn it. Oh, that's the shame. Did you ask
but Josh also said he doesn't want to go politics anymore because of this.
I did.
I would say don't do that because I think that it's the way you and I discuss it is mutually respectful, and that's the only way we can start.
Before the show actually about this very issue. And the thing that I find most fascinating are the people that are so into making sure Josh doesn't get his opinion out are also the people that are saying America is too divisive and that we are a divided country and we need to come together. And this is just pure hatred coming from this person that says we should get together.
I would like to really make one thing clear.
Okay.
To the people that want to attack me for my politics or Josh for his politics. All right. The same rule applies. You're not going to tell me anything that's really going to change my mind at this stage of the game. I like facts. I like, I am able to admit when I think we were very wrong. And the biggest example of that in this election would be thinking that Joe Biden was going to be able to play out the string and be a viable candidate. He wasn't. He'd lost his fastball, and he's an old 80, whatever he is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still believe in the candidate that we have, and I believe in the policies. And more than that, the guy on the other team is somebody that I, like many, many Democrats, feel a tremendous amount of angst and anger and disgust and every other adjective you want to throw with that. So,
And I think my simple point yesterday was that no matter what happened at Madison Square Garden, it wasn't convincing either side. It was
probably,
not, and that, and that, but you can, I'm sure, accept from me that that, that saddens me, because I really wish that it would be, I wish there would be more people that would look at that and go, this is not right, because it's
not. And I think, yes, I agree. And I
not that you say it's not right. I'm sure you do say that's not right, but at the same time, not bad enough to make you change the way you think.
Right, it's not, and for my candidate, it is a bad look going into the last week that all the headlines are about this, where if it would have been at a comedy show, something else.
Oh, at a comedy show, it's a different rule.
It's completely acceptable.
Totally different rule. And bringing up that particular comedian is horrible judgment.
I hear that that move and all the podcast moves has been Barron Trump's moves. In order to reach the younger voters, Barron Trump has been suggesting these different people and has been trying to get his dad on the Kill Tony podcast. They didn't have time to get him on the podcast, so they invited Tony to come here.
Good move.
So you get attacked by
somebody on the left for your politics. They say, kudos to me for standing up. The thing that I don't do.
Yeah, I didn't think is, you were standing up.
Is no. Start to scream at people. My relationship now with people that are on the other side is one where they know who I am. They know they're not going to say anything. And it's playful back and forth. So I'm able to give as good as I get, and that's the way it is. But it is long gone are the days where I'm getting into a shouting match with people, and I believe when you get naked racism, that I have every right in the world to call it out.
Sure.
And by the way, just like when Joe Biden came out and was, you know, the trumpet call, the clarion call on the right was that, you know, he doesn't have it, he's out of it, blah, blah, blah. And it proved to be, you have to own it, you have to say you were right. You were right about that, you know? And you kind of, you didn't totally own it, but you definitely didn't say it means nothing or justify it or do any of that. You knew it was a bad look, as you like to call it, which is softening it, but
you still
owned it, you know,
to a degree. I like Tony Hinchcliffe as a comic. I like him in his comic setting. I just know that was the wrong spot to have him.
Yeah, and
wrong timing, definitely.
Yeah,
but I also think I think these Trump rallies are we've never seen anything like it, and they have progressed from a
rally. Yeah, we did. It was back in the 1930s concert. When the Ubuntu group was
85 years ago, right?
The 85 years ago, the Nazis. Yeah,
got it. Well, don't worry. I had MSNBC on this weekend too.
Attaboy. Good. It's good to look at the other side to see that. Yeah.
The frustration thing is when I get these hate messages, like yesterday's was starts with anti-woke. You mean anti-compassion, and then it's just hatred towards me.
Yeah.
So it's like, where's your compassion?
And I think the gist of when I responded to you was, welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten that for years, decades. Yeah. Now, sure. But the one thing I sent you a very supportive message to
so
say
where did
that
I screw up.
The screw up was that's in the because, you know, I think that it's no secret that when it came to English class, you know, you
no,
were
my
you,
brother
you,
handles that.
Your brother was handling that. So when you said, well, read the text and you'll and Rob will identify the word that was when you said I will be, and the word that you wish to use would be refraining.
Okay. And I said restraining.
You said restraining. Yeah. I will be restraining from discussing politics.
Which apparently I'm not, but either way.
No, you're not. No, you're totally good, which is like me, so I'm all in for that. I like that. I like the fact that
I can't keep it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. And it's because it's the reality.
Yeah.
You can't dismiss the numbers. You can't. We gotta figure out how to get through this time, and you know, and in my humble opinion.
1 week to go.
1 week to go,
and then the loser complains for 3 weeks.
It depends on the loser. But anyway, because it might be three years.
True.
Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, you know, I really don't care about the fact that there's 8 days to election. There's another countdown I'm focused on that I think is more important, and it's also something, Mike.
Can you remove your obsessive compulsiveness?
And, Mike, some people would say it's part of the show.
Can you engage yourself in the discussion at all? My God in heaven, I'm asking you. I thought Rob was looking at the thread. Rob is getting ready to do his edited piece of countdown for 10 days.
I thought we were done, and I was going to try to cycle out of it. But if you want my personal take on this, the problem is, Mike, the problem is divisiveness. And if we were to somehow restrain Josh from talking, that we actually weaken our own point. Because there are, you know, it is right down the middle right now. 50%, 50%. I can't believe it's that close, but it's that close. And if we just ignore the fact that there is that divisiveness out there, it's almost like playing into it. So I love the fact that we let Josh occasionally pop in with his side's take. This has been a one-sided show for a long time. And, you know, I think it's maybe not refreshing, but I think it's a bit fascinating to see what the other side is thinking.
No,
right
it's not refreshing at all. If you consider refreshing, drinking, a Tabasco cocktail, then it would be refreshing.
Well, like I said, it's not refreshing, but it is. It's insightful.
Can I say this? When I listen to, I think that I don't want to hold this up to an example of it. And I was pissed off when I came in yesterday. I was pissed off at that rally. I really was. I think it's and when you do it in a large mob scene, you legitimize that. But the way Josh and I kind of roll with it on the show is, you know, for the people that say you should call Josh out, no, I'm not saying anything to him that's going to change his mind. I care about my country. He cares about his country. And that's unfortunately... Or fortunately, that's the reality that we live in, and I think what I get from you, Josh, occasionally is that your eyes are open.
Yeah,
you know what my issues are. I think it's pretty obvious, and I think it's probably a little. I would think, and you can disagree with me if you want. I would think it's a little easier for me. It's a little easier for you than it is for me because I have trouble understanding where you're coming from. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I get that. And I'll tell you, my biggest, hardest thing for me to understand on the other side is how everyone got behind Kamala so fast.
Okay.
Biggest thing is I heard all this, maybe Biden needs another vice president, someone else to run the second time. She's not doing it, and then all of a sudden, everyone huddles up behind her. So that's one of the things that I don't understand on the other side.
Yeah, and I get from talking to people on the right that there is kind of a, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to mischaracterize the way you feel. And I'm talking to you, not everybody else, but I'm saying, for example, I've gotten that. I've gotten that with, what's Democratic about that? I've gotten that. You know, what's that? The handpick. Well, the bottom line is, It was democratic. It was done by the rules. It was done by the rules. The electors were polled, and that. So, but there is that kind of sense of, and would there not be?
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you wish they had an open primary up against Joe Biden, like, and let RFK run? Because
no.
if our, I think,
I think cause, RFK, cause I, well, no,
not a
I
lot
mean,
of people
if,
over.
If you went, no, he wouldn't have. Because
no,
he
I mean,
was,
he brought, I think he brought stuff onto Trump's side that could have stayed on that side.
You know, RFK to me, the way I perceive him is a bit of a malcontent, a bit of a contrarian, a bit of a wingnut. That's the way I look at RFK.
No, I understand.
But the thing about the.
He married well.
The way it shook out and the way it worked out, with the kind of hatred that and venom that is spewed against anyone who runs against Trump, I think it actually worked out better for the Democrats. So from that standpoint, the answer would be no. I think the way it went down was okay. That we thought we had a viable candidate, and it turned out in that first debate, holy S, which is what I said to my wife, and then bingo bango, you've got, in my opinion, about Kamala Harris, somebody who was not ready for the spotlight in the top of the ticket the first time she ran. But she was, I believe she's grown in the role, which is what a lot of people on my teams think about that. So in the long run, it worked. I think it worked out better for this. If we're talking about the horse race here, which is what it is, it worked out better. I liked it like that. What's going to happen with the election? Go out and vote. Nobody knows yet.
Right, yeah. Right. Who knows? It's too close.
So that's it.
What bothers me the most about it is when they say congratulations on calling out Josh. And that is so narrow-minded and nearsighted, because to call someone out, it's like to bring up some secret or to reveal something about them that we don't already know. We know where we stand. We know where Mike stands. We know where I stand. We know where Josh stands. Also,
I have done more for my cause down here, in my opinion, by people knowing where I stand.
Yeah.
And by sticking to my guns, but not doing it in such a way where I'm screaming at people all the time. Because I was there at a certain point. It was contentious.
The screaming doesn't help anyone.
I don't think so.
The hard of hearing, it helps.
It really gets to a point where I think you do more good, and I don't know what's wrong with my throat. You do more good if you approach it from a standpoint of reason.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you do. And I live around, I am surrounded by this. Now, with my wife, with like-minded individuals, I don't speak the same way. I get pissed. And I cannot tell you how much I hate the other side's leading candidate. I cannot stand the guy. And a lot of people cannot stand the guy on both the right and the left. But we're still where we are. And we will see, because we have 1 week to go. And I know there is someone now who is chomping at the bit, because there's another countdown.
No, I don't want to play it now.
You're not going to play it? You want to play it, and then we're in mid-discussion.
Right, I thought the discussion was winding up. Forgive me.
That's the other guy. He's not here anymore that wanted to move past politics. Sometimes we talk about it on the show.
And by the way, how dare you? What I was doing. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
The important thing is there's 11 days.
Yes.
11 days. Absolutely.
Yes.
11
Until we
days.
Go to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, not the election.
No.
We're going to be in we might have a new president by the time we get to Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, we will have a new perspective.
Oh, really? Are you sure?
Well, Mike, it won't be Joe Biden. It's got to be a new guy or gal.
I don't know. They say counting might take 3 weeks.
That's what they're saying.
And
did you know that,
then,
Rob? Did you know that? Yes, I did know that.
And Mike, regardless of that, we will not have a president until January 20th, when the inauguration happens. But we will have a new, president in the offing either way. But that'll happen when we're in Las Vegas 11 days from now.
It's a race to the finish line with just 11 days left.
But don't despair. There is still time.
In 11 days.
What's that one?
I got 11 days.
Now we
when you get a chance to multiply by 11.
The numbers all go to 11.
11!
11, 11, 11.
Is that true?
These guys are 11.
I'll see y'all later.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, Ocean's 11.
In
I knew
fabulous
that
Las Vegas, Nevada.
What?
The numbers go to 11 in Spinal Tap.
Is that what that's from?
Yeah.
So that's
these go to 11.
That's Christopher Guest.
Exactly. You nailed it.
There you go.
Very good.
All right. I got that. So that's where we are. And, you know, we'll have a little bit of a quiz because I forgot how the modern history of presidential elections is so just loaded with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little mini history lesson that we'll have here. And
no questions about sitcoms or anything in this quiz.
Not in this quiz that
I'm
going to
do very poorly
in the show, but it's big time fun. And, we've got a jam packed show for you today. We're going to take a break. And, when we come back, we've got, the round table and lots more. Don't forget the big election quiz. If you fancy yourself a political junkie, you might really, really, be into this one. I think it's, well, I will welcome, the analysis of my quiz as to whether I made it too easy or not.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm worried about. We'll be right back.
Mike, and don't worry about the fact that we're about to hear a promo.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. They scour the globe for original handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Somehow, they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. What did you get, Josh?
I got a nice drinking glass of Oriole Park at Camden Yards, a nice drawing of the stadium on it, along with the city skyline.
Way to go. Congratulations on your drawing. Many of the handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. With every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TMOS. That's uncommongoods.com/TMOS for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
It's almost time.
Next week, it's all about Vegas, baby, and we want to see you there.
If you haven't purchased your tickets for the live show at the Downtown Grand on November 9th, what are you waiting for?
There are only a precious few left, so get your tickets now from the store at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Don't suffer from FOMO. Come to the show.
Because if you don't purchase your ticket, I will find you, and I will haunt you the rest of your life.
Thank you to Steve Kelsey for voicing that promo with Jim.
Was that the Liam Neeson?
Yeah, he did that, and he was the other low voice on the promo. Two voice effort.
Thank you, Steve. In a perfect world, we would all get enough of the nutrients we need for high-level performance from our diets alone. But in the real world, everyone could use some help in continuing to find a new personal best day after day. I started with the Momentous 3, protein, creatine, and omega-3. These are the three nutrients expert research shows as the foundation of long-term health. This protocol supports every cellular function of the brain and body. The Momentous 3 is the easiest way to drive the biggest impact on health span. Even better, all of the Momentous formulas are designed with human performance experts and are NSF. NSF. What is NSF? I forgot what that one is. Is it not safe for work?
No, Mike. No, it's sorry, very safe. Kidding. We can take this stuff anywhere.
They are NSF and Informed Sports Certified for use by professional and collegiate athletes. That means sourcing ingredients for quality, not just what's cheapest. They're driven by what they call the Momentous Standard, and it's become synonymous with the industry's gold standard in quality and efficacy. So, if you are interested in making a true investment in your health, why not join the best in human performance and be part of the change that's raising raising the bar on supplements. Just go to livemomentous.com and use code TMOS for 20% off your new routine today. That's livemomentous.com with code TMOS, everybody.
That is the National Sanitation Foundation. It's NSF.
Really?
It signifies a food product meets public and health standards.
Hello.
So it's sanitary.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's get to the tidbits.
Jennifer Aniston remembered her Friends co-star Matthew Perry yesterday on the first anniversary of his death in a simple Instagram message Aniston wrote 1 year. She wrote alongside the heart and dove emoji used for remembrance of people who have passed away. The post links to the Matthew Perry Foundation. That's the nonprofit established in his name to help people struggling with addiction. And I when I saw this news story today, I gave some thought to Matthew Perry and the fact that I was reading his book and just how unreal his addiction was, just how unmanageable it was right till the very end. And it's easy to throw the darts at the enablers that gave him the prescription, but
well,
the fact is,
story old as time. The
I don't know star. With a guy like that, with that kind of addiction issue, I don't know if anything could have saved him. I really think about it like that.
I was never a real big fan of Friends. It sort of made me a standout. I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was great as everyone did, but I did like Matthew Perry, and I saw something yesterday that actually sort of hit me in the feels, as the kids say, and it was a AI-generated image or a Photoshop image of the rest of the cast of Friends as they appear now, looking sad at his headstone. And if you think about it, you know, that was a defining television show, and it's sad that those people, they were for a while the Beatles of TV, meaning that they couldn't go anywhere without being recognized or associated with each other. And the fact that that was broken up by such a horrible circumstance is really sad. It's very sad.
It is. It's a true dragon. He was the comic central center of that program.
So
and,
good.
Just a real dragon. And you know, I always get mad at the enablers that allow this type of thing to happen. Mm. But it's pretty tough to, when you've got the power and the fame and the money right through his death, where, you know, he was sending out somebody to get his narcotic that was used to, addiction's a weird thing. We've had authors speak about it.
The fact that he was so addiction. In tune with his own addiction, he understood it. He knew it was bad for him, and he couldn't. That's what is the most amazing thing about addiction, when you know it's killing you and you can't do a thing about it. He said he used to be able to, and Mike, you told us this, when he would look back on reruns of Friends, he could tell by his weight what drug he was on.
Yeah.
He was that specific about it.
Do you feel, having dealt with addiction yourself, that there, the way I would look at it would be, I don't know if there's a rule book, right? There are certainly ways to deal with addiction. You dealt with it on your own without a lot of support network of a formal sense. But
I always held out that if I had trouble, I would take it to that next level. You know, I know where I researched where AA meetings were in my neighborhood. I never went to one, but I had a talk with a good, well, actually, you know, he was a co-host on one show when you were away. My friend Aaron, who also is, he's sober much longer than me, but the story is the same. And we both said that, you know, never feel that it's totally in your hands, that you can take care of it. Luckily, this far, I've been able to. And sober, what, 30 months, 31 months?
Yeah,
like
and that,
which is great.
You know, when I hear that, you know, so far that you're, you know, you do at least have the concept of the one day at a time where, you know, you could fall off the wagon
anytime
at any moment. And I do feel that from, let's go all the way back to the 80s and 90s when I was a young guy. And I remember if somebody would not be drinking, if we had an older sales guy at one of my Annapolis radio stations. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was always kind of, it's like you pause when he would say, no, I don't drink. Yeah. It was like a thing. It's no longer a thing.
No,
at least in my world, it's not a thing. You hear somebody that's dealing with that.
Hand in hand with being more sensitive to people that are dealing with depression or any sort of mental struggles. You know, now it's something that you can, you know, I'm in therapy. Well, God, who isn't? I'm taking a pill. Well, God, who isn't? But that, not just 20 years ago, was not an acceptable thing, I don't think. I think we've come a long way with the awareness of people.
I do, too. I'm glad to say to hear you say that, because I thought that was the case, that we have moved forward on that.
I think we have, yeah.
And it's not, you know, I don't consider it that, that big a thing anymore. And I think most people are just like, yeah, it's your journey. And probably, to a certain degree, that, you know, you've gotten through that now. And, you know, it's envious. I still have the occasional morning where I'm dragging my ass. I had one Sunday morning, and it was right through my practice on Sunday, where I was just a little draggy and logy, and I hate feeling like that.
You see, sometimes there's an initial code that you'll write on Facebook or social media, and it stands for all the capital letters, I will not drink with you today.
Yeah.
And if you ever see those letters, that's what it says, is that today's a day I'm not going to drink. Well, it doesn't get to the point where I can't look at a beer commercial and say, God, it would be fun to have a beer today. Or I look at, God, now the Crown Royal buys commercials. That wasn't the case 20 years ago. But I see it and I think, wow, you know what? That stuff tasted good. That stuff made me feel good. But also I balance it with the fact that that stuff was killing me.
Yeah,
it was literally killing me. Well, and so, you know, how good is it? Is it good enough to kill you? Well, then no, stop. So if you need help, get it. But luckily, thus far, I spoke to my doctor, and, you know, I've had questions and stuff. I spoke to other people that are alcoholics that are getting by, and you trade tricks and stuff. But it's when it's
is
all
there
said
any
done,
when you mention that, is there anything that you would share? Not necessarily a trick, but something that, When you make the decision, and only you can make that decision,
right?
When you make that decision, is there anything you would share with people that would be something that really helped you get underway with this new journey of not?
Yeah, it was the marijuana.
Thank you. All right.
No, no. In all seriousness, Mike, figure out what alcohol was replacing in your life, and find something to replace that with. For me, it was a big part of ritual. Very big part of it.
And
was
you're
the ritual,
all about ritual.
Is having a drink at the end of the night. So now what do? I make myself a tea or something like that. I go through the process of making something to have that signifies the end of the day. And that helps me. Okay. But that's just me. Might not help you.
All right,
so
good.
Every day it's a new day. So that's what you
do. And we'll build a big wall around the bar on the...
The big Dirk Energy Bar?
Yeah, the big Dirk Energy Bar.
Oh, wristbands still for sale, by the way. Open bar wristbands on our website.
Yeah,
go to MichaelMaraShow.com. Thank you for all of you so far. We need more help, but thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Josh, I did a week in New Orleans. Las Vegas is like the Betty Ford Clinic. So I'll be okay.
Hey, Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon has filed a petition to resentence Eric and Lyle Menendez. That opens the possibility of parole for the brothers serving life sentences for the murder of their parents. Gascon unveiled his long-awaited decision in the infamous case on Thursday, saying the brothers have paid their debt to society. The petition asked the court to resentence the men to 50 years to life on two counts of first-degree murder, according to a copy obtained by USA Today. Under California law, they would be eligible for youth parole since they were under the age of 26 at the time of the crime.
Now they're like 70.
Yeah. And they've already served 30 years, which is amazing when you really think about
My sentence for them would be take off your toupee.
Yeah,
that's
well,
my sentence.
He has, and he's bald now.
He looks great. Yeah,
and my fear is that the judge didn't go back and look at the facts. He just binged the Netflix documentary.
Well, who knows? It was, it leaves a lot more questions than answers. The momentous decision came after the brothers' attorneys filed new evidence last year. They said shed light on abuse suffered at the hands of their father, Jose Menendez. In recent months, the brothers' family, as well as celebrities and human rights advocates, urged Gascon's office to release the convicted men, citing the new evidence and the evolution in the understanding of sexual abuse victims. I would like to know, because I'm not quite sure whether the documentary deals with that, I would like to know what that new evidence is. I'd be very curious to read about that.
Are they getting any support from any redheaded female country singers? Because you said celebrities are backing them up.
Hey, everybody, this is Reba McEntire.
That's the ritual he talks about. He wants that ritual in there every day. Kid Rock is full-on MAGA, and Eminem recently endorsed Kamala Harris. But it's refreshing to know that despite their political differences, they're still buddies and fellow Detroit Lions fans.
That's refreshing?
Well, yeah. Why not, right? I mean, come on. Kid posted a video saying, quote, "I love Eminem. We've been friends for many years. I don't agree with his politics, but I do give credit to him and people like Taylor Swift for standing up and not being afraid to be vocal for that which they believe. Thinking differently and having the freedom to do so is what makes this country great." Eminem replied, quote, "Here's one thing Kid Rock and I do agree on. Go Lions. Appreciate you, Bob." So now, why are you poo-pooing this? I think this is nice.
Nice, but it's Kid Rock, and he's a zero. So you got to be careful. Take it with a grain of salt.
Eminem spent the entire game calling out Kid Rock.
Really?
No, not at all. I'm going back to that email that you called me out.
Okay, there you go. Do you have a favorite celebrity chef?
Yeah, absolutely. You know this.
I know who yours is.
Yeah. It's the only one I've ever seen. Yeah, the only one I've ever seen in concert.
I've seen Rachel Ray in concert, but she's
so there you go.
Favorite.
Yeah, do her arms look better in person, or are they still like dinosaur arms?
It was a long time ago with my buddy Mark Silverstein.
Oh, I remember.
Silverstein. Yeah. Sorry about that. Josh, do you follow the cooking shows?
I do not.
Rob and I do.
I know nothing about the cooking shows.
Okay, so my favorite.
I know I'm tired of Martha Stewart, if she still counts.
Well, she's not really a cooking person. She's an all-around lifestyle person.
A lifestyle expert. I don't know who
Mrs. Green Thumbs?
Number one is Gordon Ramsay. He got 40% of this survey.
Okay, I like him. I do.
Rachel Ray, 31%. Bobby Flay, can't stand Bobby Flay, 28%. Hey, guess what? Rounding out the top five.
What?
Martha Stewart and Emeril Lagasse. They both had 26%.
Emeril is sort of last year, I think. You know, I watched that show, Beating Bobby Flay, and I was disappointed that it did not involve an actual beating.
I know it does not. You stole that. That's someone else's
line.
No,
I wrote that. I wrote that, but a long time ago.
Did you really write that line? That's yours?
Yes.
I could make a case that it might not be. Sometimes you write a line you think is yours, but it's been used before. I think that line, but I'll double check it. I'll fact check it. No, I won't.
I got it from Tony Hinchcliffe.
Tony Hinchcliffe at the Garden. The election is next week, and Halloween is this Thursday.
Oh, my God. So much going on.
So somebody polled again. Sorry about the polls.
But that's all right.
A lot of them right now. 6,000 people asked him, "Have you ever dressed as a politician?" 8% of Americans have dressed up as a political figure for Halloween before, and at least 13% of us know someone who is going as a politician this year. Here are the stats.
All right, great.
Do you really want them? Do you really want to know?
Have you ever dressed as a political figure?
I've dressed as pop culture. Yeah, I guess Barbara Bush when I went in drag with my red pumps. That would probably count.
Does Adolf Hitler count as a political figure?
Let's move on, shall we?
Because I've never dressed as him.
There you go. Good.
Thank you.
And finally today, thieves have
burglars
have pulled off a massive cheese heist in the UK.
Call and, Maddie.
more than 300,000 pounds, and I'm talking about money pounds, 360,000 euros, pounds, dollars worth
like
of
those
cheddar.
Those pounds are money.
Money that's missing. Just a ton of cheese. London cheese specialist Neil's Yard Dairy.
That seems awfully specific to be a London cheese specialist.
Set.
Oh, Mike, the cheese is here. The cheese wagon.
Let me turn this up. Come on, do it again now. I'm trying to
come on, folks.
Up.
Come on.
No, we'll wait till I start.
It's so nice, Mike, when people can tune into our second consecutive perfect show. It's fun to have you be a part of it, folks. Thank you.
Thanks
for coming.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that. Thieves have pulled off this big, I guess it's a con guy that's done this. A distributor, that's Neil's Yard Dairy, had said that a con guy posing as a wholesale distributor, I'm going to read it again because this guy
from
distracted
the top.
Me. Neil's Yard Dairy said a con artist posing as a wholesale distributor for a major French retailer made off with 22 metric tons.
Wow.
That's 48,000. 1,488 pounds of award-winning cheddar. That's worth more than, as we mentioned before, 300,000 pounds. Before the company realized it had been scammed and reported the theft, nearly 1,000 wheels of cloth-wrapped cheese
from
from three cheesemakers have gone missing. The dairy has asked international cheesemongers. I always love that name. Cheesemonger.
That's a great word, yeah.
My precious. They've asked them to be on the lookout for the stolen cheese, particularly in 10-kilogram and 24-kilogram blocks. The dairy said it had still paid all three producers of the cheese in full so the individual dairies would not have to bear the costs.
Nice.
So they got their money, which means this big outfit, the middleman, is doing very well for their,
sure,
their source.
But I did see a few weeks ago that the most stolen item from grocery stores is also cheese.
Cheese. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, all in all, it sounds like the cheddar thieves were pretty sharp. There you go. Thank you. Nothing. No one. Get it? Sharp?
I get it. I got it. If you want to find these thieves, Mike, look for someone who hasn't taken a shit in 2 weeks.
There you go. All bound up. Yeah. They'll be bound up when they catch them with handcuffs.
Like a little mouse.
Is that it?
Hey, a good letter. A good letter, everyone. That's coming up next on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. Hey, with my bookie, you're not just watching football. You're cashing in on the action.
Yes.
Risk-free bets, thousands in cash prizes, and epic rewards. Reward. Hey, I'm Frank Sinatra. I have a little reward.
Hey, man. I just mixed myself a little salad here.
I have a little reward. Every single week they do it. The best part is you can bet on any game, anytime, anywhere, straight from your phone. Check out mybookie.ag and use our code, Mike O'Mara. That's the code, everybody. That gets you started. It's MyBookie's 10-year anniversary, and they're rolling out the red carpet for bettors. Bet big and bet confident with risk-free Thursdays. If your boosted bet doesn't hit, you'll get your money back. Weekly, no-sweat, win-win bets all season long. For those of you who've been playing with MyBookie, they've got something for you, too. A brand new loyalty rewards program in MyBookie Plus. It's simple. The more you play, the more you earn. Make your football season a winning season with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Remember, MyBookie.ag and promo code Mike O'Mara, no spaces, no apostrophe. MyBookie, light them up. All right.
Thank you. Is
this like a formal mailbag, or do you,
you know
just
what?
Receive
I think
a random
it's
letter?
A letter, but it's from our mailbag, so...
I love the theme to the mailbag.
Me too. That. Remember, Mike, voice. Our house orchestra is the La Plata High School Band.
It's delightful. Delightful.
Final countdown. 11 days till Vegas.
Final
so there
countdown.
You go. This letter to me is funny in so many ways. And it went to Josh and it went to me. And Josh enjoyed it so much, he forwarded it to me again.
Okay.
Now, I have to ask you, when you started, I know you started on WAVA and working with Don. It was in the afternoons in the summer of 85, if my mental calendar is right.
Fall
and
of
then you launched the Morning Zoo in the fall of 85. Is that right?
Okay. So if you're talking about the summer of 85, that would have been when I was the production director at WAVA.
And Don was in afternoons and you would do Saul and occasional
drop-ins
on his show.
I'd come in and do a bit or two on his show, and then they moved us into the regular slot after that.
So that's a long time that you've been doing radio in this market. And
before that, of course, I was in smaller markets, too.
Right.
I was in Annapolis, Maryland, and I was also in Northern Virginia. So that's,
but I think that the launch on the Morning Zoo is when you became, and I know you hate this phrase, but I'll use it anyway, a heritage DJ. I mean, someone who was in the mornings for a long time that people remember from that time.
Yeah.
But I do know you, and I didn't get to work with you until 92. So these years are sort of before me. But you're not a saver. You don't like hoard memories from the past. And so you don't have a lot of things probably from those first few years, do you?
I could probably go through some stuff. I probably got some swag, pictures, promotional items and stuff like that. But as far as tapes and that kind of stuff of my work, probably not a lot of it, because it really makes me cringe most of the time.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Mike. Because we got to – who is your favorite Agnew? Probably Spiro, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Well, this is a letter from R.T. Agnew, and he really must not understand how things work. because here's the letter. The subject line is Mike O'Mara, question mark? And so when I see something like that, I'm like, oh, I'll read this. And it says, hi, I'm trying to track down Mike O'Mara from the Don and Mike show. Well, you've done it. Here he is. We've got him. That's great.
All right.
To see if there was any way to recover a recording from their broadcast on Monday morning, December 8th, 1986. Mike, do you have that tape?
Oh, I got it right here. I got it right here. Here it is.
Here it is.
Now, I'm going to read you. He's very vague about what the segment is about, and I wonder if you have any memory of it. It says, the famous Don and Mike, and you were in quotation marks there, the famous Don and Mike were at the Washington Redskins game against the New York Giants to see their friend who was performing the national anthem. Any memory of this?
Nope.
Didn't think so. My sister and I, this is Mrs. Agnew, I suppose, were seated near them and ended up trading tickets with them.
He's
before
married
we
to
left.
His sister?
No. Well, no, I'm assuming that if she is she's unmarried, that she would also be Agnew. Then she'd be Miss Agnew. I stand corrected. Anyway, the trade went sideways when you traded tickets. Mike, is it typical that you would go into a sporting event and trade tickets in some sort of a cockeyed plan?
I seem to remember we did a thing with the Hoggettes where we well, were supposed to go there and be Hoggettes, and then we left.
Yeah, because
and
you had
went to
stand
another
up.
Segment of the, another section of the field because we hated the Hoggettes.
Well, Mike, the letter goes on to say the trade
still
went
strong
sideways.
Language. Hate's a strong word. We were not compatible with this, with the Hoggettes at that time. Yes, yes.
Pork chop was one
pork
of them.
Pork chop, right? Mike. Grandpa Hoggett.
Oh, the hygiene. The trade ones, are they still at the games?
I have no earthly idea. Probably not. Unless there's an urn.
Mike, they're still at RFK. That's the thing. They've not made it to the new stadium yet. Anyway,
absolutely.
The trade went sideways the following day when they went on their broadcast and talked all about it. This might pique your memory, Mike. It was an unbelievable story that has been folklore in my family's household when discussing my dad's 50-year-plus career working for the federal government. So now that somehow the dad is involved, but he wasn't at the game. I am desperate to find a recording after all these years and play it for my father. Can you please forward this to Mike in the hopes that he might be able to help me locate a recording? Mike, can you reach out to this guy and help him search out this recording?
No.
Any help is sincerely appreciated. R.T. Agnew.
Okay, so, sorry about that. I was waiting. Josh, weren't you waiting for like a clip? I thought we were going to get a clip from the old days.
No, there's no clip. Because
no,
what
we couldn't find one.
They're all on Kinescope. They're all on Kinescope, and they were destroyed in a warehouse fire.
But the thing, Mike, the thing that pleases me most about this letter from Mr. Agnew is that in his mind, somehow he can get to you through me.
Okay.
And that, like, somehow
well, that
I'm going to drive to your house in Florida, and we're going to go to, like,
we'll go down into the basement.
Well,
where
no, Mike, more than
are.
That, the abandoned salt mine 500 feet underground where all of the reel-to-reel tapes of your show are categorized.
That'd
and
be morning zoo
there.
Stuff, too, which would be early morning, and I hate it. All the
yeah,
and the
exactly.
And I had, like, a duck caller.
Didn't you have a snare drum?
I had a snare drum, I had a keyboard. God, yeah. All right.
To be fair, Mike, I truly miss the keyboard. I loved that you would have the keyboard.
Well, the keyboard was played by some famous people. I think Carly Simon played the keyboard. I think Dennis DeYoung played the keyboard.
Liberace.
You know, on that note, we're going to
take
a
you had break. Liberace in studio.
All right, it's quiz time. We're going to play.
I can't wait for the quiz.
And I'm proud of this quiz. I wrote it. I wrote this quiz. Even though the facts are, you know, cut and paste facts.
Mike,
and all that,
just look, yeah. At least look around your house for that tape. That was October of 86.
I found it. All right. There you go. We'll be right back, everybody. There's a bit of a chill in the air. Autumn is here. I know up where you are, you had a freeze this morning. Is
hard
that true?
Freeze, Mike, if you know what I mean.
Hard freeze. With Legacy Box, you can cozy up and watch something special this fall, your family's home movies. Legacy Box is the simple and safe solution for digitizing all your family's precious memories. By going to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 55% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. The process is easy. Send in your legacy box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. Their team professionally digitizes everything by hand right here in the USA. You'll get it back on the cloud or thumb drive along with your originals. Legacy Box digitizes over 15 different types of analog media. So, whatever it is, they've got you covered. After 10 years in business, Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer. They've helped over 1 million families relive their wedding days, baby's first steps, and even great moments from the New York Giants as they destroy the Steelers.
Yeah, I know you have a lot of Super 8s of that, Mike. 8mm film. Yeah.
Down in the wine cellar. Go to legacybox.com/TiaBoys to get an incredible 55% off. Buy today. Send it in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. Legacybox.com/TMOS. Yes, we are a week away from the election, ladies and gentlemen. And,
I forgot, Mike. It wasn't a salt mine. It's a wine cellar that you have all the tapes in.
This is not a competition between you and Josh. I would look for you guys to assist each other on this. And,
all right.
These vary in degrees of ease, and I think I have taken advantage of my elder status on the show to mine my own memory banks, with supplementing them with a few details online. And let's see,
how many questions total? Do you can you
I have 20.
So to pass, I would say we'd need each one worth 5 points. I'd say we need a 12 or 13 for a passing grade.
Then keep your score and let us know if you get enough to pass, and then if you get enough to get a B and an A or an A plus.
Okay. All right.
Which is possible.
It is. It is possible.
Let's start with the first question, all right?
Yeah.
Here we go. What candidate looked like a doofus when he was photographed in a tank?
Photographed in a tank. I seem to remember a picture of George W. Bush in a tank, and he liked to ally himself with the military, and he was famous for putting up the Mission Accomplished banner.
Nice guess.
I will say him. No. Oh, no.
Josh, would you like to hazard a guess on this?
I'm going to go Hoover.
Herbert Hoover.
I will give you one hint and give you a chance to redeem yourself for the first question.
All right.
He was driving the tank.
Driving the tank? I can only think of Arnold, and he wasn't a presidential candidate.
No, the correct answer...
Yeah.
You got it wrong. Michael Dukakis.
Oh,
and it actually was a major thing at the time, and he was summarily mocked across all the platforms. Are you ready for question number two?
You know, he was very good when he was played by John Lovitz on Saturday Night Live, Michael Dukakis. Yes,
I'll
go with question number two, please.
Question number two. What candidate, and you can run a little music in background.
Okay,
this.
Very good.
That's fine. Yeah. What candidate was also a first baseman for the Yale baseball team?
Oh, well, that's easy. That's George Bush.
Which one?
The senior, George H.W. Bush.
That is correct. You have gotten that one right. Where's my ding? There it is.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
It was George H.W. Bush, played for the Yale baseball team. I think maybe a star player for the Yale.
An incredible youth he had. Great book to read about him.
Yeah, really cool stuff about anti-bullying, which was his thing. He didn't let people pick on other people. So
yeah,
that was
apparently that's how he met Barbara. Barbara was picking on him.
Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen. Question number three, Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
What president was famous for being a klutz?
Oh, Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford is correct.
Yes.
You are rolling right now. All right. This one might be a little tougher for you.
Okay.
What candidate was criticized in political pundit circles for smiling often at the wrong time?
I can't think of a lot of smiling presidents other than, and so my guess will be Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter is correct.
Yay!
Way to go, Rob Spiewak. Very, very good.
He was peanut farmer from Plains, Georgia, Mike.
A peanut farmer. Josh, feel free to jump in. Have you gotten any so far?
I knew the Yale baseball.
You did? That's okay, good for you. That's good. That's a good thing. All right. Who was the Democratic nominee in the 1972 presidential campaign?
Okay, so Nixon won in 72. I'm looking right now
at
my Nixon political
button. That's a good way of getting it. Yep.
So is it McGovern?
McGovern is correct. Rob Spiewak is tearing through this. I love this. This is good. They're not too easy, though, right?
No, they're not too easy at all.
All right,
no.
Very good. All right. In that same campaign, who was the VP nominee who was replaced on the ticket due to concerns about his mental health?
Oh, boy. So it's... He would have been replaced by Spiro Agnew.
Because this is the Democratic ticket.
Oh, the Democratic ticket. Ooh.
He was replaced on the ticket due to controversy surrounding mental health.
Oh, it's Son of Sam.
That is incorrect.
I'm
Josh?
Sorry.
Right. Joe Biden.
Joe Biden is
That's
not correct.
That's not good and not accepted.
I'll give you one hint, see if you can get it by this, Rob.
Right. Yeah.
He was replaced by Maria Shriver's father, Sergeant Shriver.
So, boy, that's a tough one, Mike, because if I wasn't there, I mean, I was 1 year old. So I have to say no
guess. Senator's name was Thomas Eagleton. Thomas
Eagleton. Okay.
Eagleton.
You have to admit that's a little obscure. That's not.
You got to throw. They can't all be softballs.
That's
pal.
True. That's true.
That's the way that goes.
Michael Dukakis drove a tank, you know.
If it wasn't on TV.
It was on TV. I was just 1 year old. That's all.
Number seven, Hubert Humphrey was the Democratic candidate in the 1968 presidential campaign, and he was sometimes referred to as HHH.
Mm-hmm.
What was his middle name?
Hubert H. Humphrey. Ham. That's he loved
incorrect.
The meat. No.
Josh, you want to try a guess? Middle name H?
Harry.
Harry is incorrect. Rob, want to try one more time?
Hubert...
He was referred to often as HHH.
H-H-H. Harold.
Harold is incorrect. The correct answer, Hubert Horatio Humphrey, ladies
yes,
and gentlemen.
Poor Horatio.
Mm-hmm. All right, ready? We're moving right. We're flying along on this wonderful quiz, ladies and gentlemen.
Is this number nine or number eight?
This is number nine.
Number nine.
Oh, no, this is number eight. And this is going to be easy for you because, well, I'll tell you why. You'll know why as soon
all
as
right,
I give it
all
to
right.
you. Prior to Gerald Ford, who was the vice president in the Nixon administration?
Oh, I already mentioned this. Agnew.
Yes, there you
Sorry
go.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to read ahead.
Well, sometimes that happens. Number nine, who was the third-party candidate in the 1992 presidential election?
Mike, I voted for him. Ross Perot.
Ross Perot. Come on now. Yeah,
I went to a rally of his in Richmond. Believe
Very
it or
cool.
not. Yeah, yeah, it was neat.
Who was the comedian?
it was
Dana Carvey. Oh, yeah, he went to a rally.
The comedian was Freddie Roman.
All right, here we go. We're up at number 10. Number 10. Who participated in the very first televised presidential debate?
I'm drawn to say this, although it might not be right. Nixon Kennedy?
Nixon Kennedy is correct. Way to go.
Did you know, Josh, that the television version of the debate, they said that Kennedy won, and on the radio version, they said Nixon won because Kennedy was so telegenic that it actually carried him through, thus signaling a new era of politics.
Man knows some of his stuff. There you go. Number 11, Vice President and presidential candidate Al Gore was a senator from this state.
Oh, he has sort of an accent. Al Gore. Is he Tennessee?
Tennessee is correct, Rob Spiewak.
Wow,
well
that was
done.
A guess. That was a guess.
Well done. That is a wonderful poll there. We're at question number 12 right now, and you're doing very, very well.
Thank you.
What presidential, question number 12, what presidential candidate was identified by one letter?
I thought it was the wife.
This is softball, guys.
Isn't it?
I know it's W.
What's that?
W.
Yes, Josh Soroka with the win there. Congratulations. Yeah.
W.
Remember the stickers? There were W's all
well,
over.
Well, also his That's wife was referred to by one letter. Is the only thing I remember.
Moving right along. What president? Question number 13. Yes.
I didn't have that sticker.
What president was known as the most avid golfer?
I would say, that's tough. They all golf.
A lot of presidents golf, but this guy was really, really associated with the game. And I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Older than any of the people I've mentioned so far.
Okay. How about, is it Eisenhower?
Eisenhower is correct, Rob Spiewak.
Because he belonged to Congressional, right?
And he was also the Eisenhower pine at the Masters.
Yeah, right? That's the one he peed on every round.
That's the one he hit into.
Oh, okay. Ass.
What presidential spouse was referred to behind the scenes as the Dragon Lady?
Oh, that's got to be Nancy Reagan.
Nancy Reagan is correct. Yeah. That was an easy one. Yeah. What was the unofficial campaign slogan for Barack Obama?
Get bent.
That is not correct.
Was hope official or was that the unofficial?
That's not the slogan.
Okay.
Is it Make America Great Again?
That is incorrect.
I don't have an answer for this.
The slogan, Yes We Can.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yes, with that that notable poster they
this
had.
Should be easy for both of you, I would think.
All right.
What state decided the 2020 presidential election?
Florida.
Florida is correct.
I didn't get it in time.
That was just the result that I was in. That's a ding. There you go for that one.
That was the hanging chads, right?
hanging chads. Very good. Josh Soroka. Mm-hmm. Little history. He's coming on strong. Question number 17.
17.
In what Texas town did George W. Bush live?
Oh, and I should know this because this is where the library is. Station. College Station?
That is incorrect, Rob.
Damn it.
Let me get you the buzzer for that one.
Damn it.
Josh, any guess?
Arlington.
Arlington is not correct. The answer?
He owned the Rangers, right?
He owned the Texas Rangers. Yeah. Was a part owner in the Waco. Waco, Texas.
Waco.
I think of other things for Waco.
Yes. Stop it.
Because that, well, the David Koresh thing, right?
Yes.
Correct.
In Waco.
Yes.
That was a big controversy there. Question number 18. We're winding it down
yes.
now, ladies and gentlemen. Who was the vice president in 1962?
62 was Lyndon Johnson.
He gets all the ones with the presidents. That's good because he studied in school. Number 19. What failure was the reason most often given for Jimmy Carter losing the 1980 presidential election?
Wow, I didn't know there was a single thing. The only thing that I think of with him is that he didn't make a lot of definitive decisions in his policy. I don't know.
No, that's I'm sorry.
That's a buzzer. Yeah.
Incorrect. Josh, any guess?
I don't have an answer for that.
The war.
The war is too generic.
Good, because I don't know what I'm talking about.
The answer...
World War II was the problem.
I assume there was some war going on.
It is the failed hostage rescue. Where the,
because they were released...
went down in the desert.
Inauguration Day, right? As soon as Reagan was inaugurated, they released them. Oh, yeah.
And finally, what is the first name of Al Gore's wife?
Tipper
Gore. Yes, sir. Congratulations.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
You got an A.
I got exactly a passing grade, 60%.
Oh, 60%. I thought you did better than that. All right, we have to take a break. We will come back.
Thank you, though, Mike. I enjoyed. I love that you prepared a quiz for us. That was fantastic.
That was fun to play. We will come back with beautiful buddy, y'all. You are listening, Tipper, to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. And remember, just to be historically accurate, Eisenhower didn't pee on the pine tree. He hit his golf balls into it.
And then he peed on the golf balls.
Right back, everybody. Oh, I love language. One of the best ways to enrich your life is language. So if you want to expand your horizons, you need Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years. Millions of users. They offer 25 languages. We're talking all the biggies: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. Rob Spiewak is so Polish.
Mike, I went on the website yesterday, and in moments, I knew how to say pierogi in
pierogi.
Yeah, it was
you
amazing.
You really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's designed for long-term retention, which is the only way to do it. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value, a lifetime membership that offers lifetime access to all 25 language courses that Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Ladies and gentlemen, take advantage of this.
Please do.
This is a steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Our listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today and do it, ladies and gentlemen, right now.
Hold it, Mike. When?
Now.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd. Jerry Todd. All right, Mike. This is a trend. I don't know if I buy into it or not, but it certainly is a great way to get more sugar into your system faster.
Faster than your soda pop?
Mike, it actually involves soda pop. And and one of the candies that I tend to have in my house quite often. Are you a gummy bear guy? Do you like gummy bears?
Not particularly, no.
Really?
I wouldn't say I'm a big fan.
Robert is a big gummy candy guy, so we tend to have them in the house, and I eat them all the time because I do like them. But what about, Mike, what about frozen gummy bears? You eat them with chopsticks.
Frozen gummy bears. I saw someone do this, so I had to try it. But in a container, you're just going to put some 7-Up. She used, like, Japanese cider, but obviously I don't have that. But you're going to put it in an airtight container, and you're going to refrigerate this overnight. And you're going to put them
soak
on
the gummies plate
in
7-Up
for about 3 hours minimum.
The size comparison.
They double in size, and then you freeze them and eat them, like, with chopsticks.
Smooth, icy consistency.
I'm not sure.
And I got a real
I
big kick out of this,
are
and now I'm the cool
awesome.
Mom.
You think?
I bet you. Well, yeah. I've never thought gummy bears were all that good a candy because they didn't have that sweetness that I like say a Starburst. I think this would add that, and it would probably be fun. You know,
but I think also, you got me with the 7-Up.
Well, a lot of work there, and also keep in mind it's going to totally change the texture. And then what happens when they thaw? I mean, they can't. They're tiny.
You keep them in the freezer, mallet head, like a popsicle.
I think you have to eat them quick.
I think we have to find out.
Yeah, I think it would be a good thing.
This is what we have to do.
Yeah, we have to freeze some gummy bears.
All right, so it is gummy bears in a tray.
Tray.
And then tray.
Don't freeze the tray. You just soak them in first,
yeah, you
right?
put them in an airtight container and soak them for three, or did she say a day? Yeah, a day.
Play it again. I want to pay attention to it.
Here's the lady.
Gosh.
They look good. They really
Mike,
look
and
good.
Also, is
popsicles.
It do you like the gummy bear? Or do you like the lady who's eating them?
I like the lady who's eating them too.
Yeah, she's nice too.
She seems very nice.
Yeah.
I saw someone do this, so I had to try it. But in a container, you're just going to put some 7-Up. She used like Japanese cider, but obviously I don't have that. But you're going to put it.
What does she say about Japanese cider?
I had to listen to it a few times. Is apparently she watched this on another TikTok video, and she's saying she used 7-Up. The lady she saw used Japanese cider, and I don't know what that is, but she's using 7-Up instead.
It's a sweetening
agent. Let's stick with the 7-Up.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Okay.
See, I don't have that. But you're going to put it in an airtight container, and you're going to refrigerate this overnight. And then you're going to put them on a plate and then freeze them for about 3 hours minimum.
The size comparison.
So they double in size, and they're crispy, crunchy.
Great quickie. I love that. Yeah. I really
do. Smooth, icy consistency.
They look
but
great.
I promise you.
I got a real big kick out of this, and now I'm the cool mom.
You know what? I want to be the cool dad, and you know, if I'm able to vote today, I'll get that done. I'll get it.
I promise that you don't want chopsticks, though. I'm eating those by the handful. The chopsticks seems a little dainty.
Yeah, between the comment from Mr. Soroka about Japanese cider and your comment about chopsticks, I would say stop being anti-Asian, gentlemen.
Mike, stop it! How dare you?
Jeez,
haven't we had enough? Canceled?
Haven't we had enough? Please,
Mike.
Yes.
When you think of classic crimes from the Old West, you think of like bank robbery, stuff like that. Is there one classic Old West crime that comes to mind? Like if you were writing a real cliche-ridden, trope-ridden Western, what would someone be doing out there that's illegal?
Well, I mean, I would think that it wasn't a crime, but it was a gunfight. It was the shootout at the OK Corral
Tombstone. Okay, I think I steered you in the wrong direction. Let's say you have battling land barons and they've got cattle and you want to get to the other guy. You're a rustler, right? You're a cattle rustler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you think that cattle rustling is still a thing?
I bet it is.
Mike?
I bet it is. Yeah. Open
let's
spaces.
Let's go to the Midwest and see how a lady's theft of a goat got her in trouble. Let's take a look.
The woman who was confronted originally said that she had purchased the sheep.
Oh, I'm sorry, sheep.
The ram. That turned out not to be true. What actually happened was she went to the farm and drugged the sheep out of the farm. And I'm going to play this video here again. You can see officer.
It's dragged, not drugged, because it sounds like you're giving it an injection.
I know, but I love the fact that the police service dog has a spider web vest on, because obviously they're festive for Halloween.
My God. So what are they doing here? That she's taking
they're recovering, Mike. They're recovering the buck. Sorry, it wasn't a goat. It was a buck.
And you're saying that's a police dog? That one on the left?
Yeah, it is.
What do you mean a police? It's not a police dog.
That's not a police dog. A police dog's like a German Shepherd.
I think it's
like a
police
golden
dog.
Retriever.
Oh, well, whoever it is, they're dressed for the holiday.
I like they pixelate the lady's face. She
yeah, well,
nice.
You're gonna see her in a sec.
Okay.
Got his nose damaged, and she almost choked a sheep out. And on her back here, these are burrs, and these are the same burrs that are next to the farm. So you can't rustle people's livestock in Bloomington. So we locked Miss Mandy Bauer up for felony.
She seems nice.
Rustling.
Yeah. Mike.
She's in Bloomington, you cannot do that. And I know it's a crime we don't talk about too often.
Mike, it's a felony.
Yeah.
That guy called that press conference just to hold up that photo.
Yeah. Absolutely. Birds.
And no, burrs, Mike. Boys. Birds. And she, and also they found her guilty. Of being hot.
Yep, absolutely.
Mike, do you ever use like a white noise machine?
Carla uses a little like a musical thing now where there's light sleep. They call it sleep music. My son goes to bed every night with thunderstorms. That's what his thing is.
I use an electric fan. I need to have some noise behind me. But this lady got involved. She's a sleep lady. It's like her deal as an influencer. And she got involved with Kentucky Fried Chicken to make sleeping noise of frying chicken. Do you think it will work?
Do you ever eat fried chicken in bed?
Maybe.
That's a lot of chicken. What are you doing now?
Now that it's breaded, I'm putting it to the baskets to be dropped and fried.
So they're actually frying the chicken?
Are there any sounds that you like to fall asleep to?
Whale sounds, that's a fun one.
So now she's pretending.
Ready to start frying?
Let's see what we got.
She got a nice recording set up there, so she's going to record the fryer.
I think it sounds good. Are you getting sleepy?
That's a great kitchen.
Nice.
I'd love to fry chicken there.
Okay, we got it.
So now they're going to play the white noise of the chicken frying, Mike.
Too sharp.
I agree.
It sounds like rain.
No, it sounds like frying. And I don't like her, Rob.
I don't either.
I don't like the fact that she chopped off Harlan Sanders' head.
Mike, he was a good man, was he not?
Yeah, he was entirely different.
In my house, Mike, if I want white noise of frying chicken, I just fry chicken.
Fried chicken all night comes out like really small. Smaller than the gummy bears.
Do you fall asleep with it frying?
Yeah, I do. I use an electric frying pan with an auto shutoff. I just put it on my dresser.
Yum, yum, yum.
All right, Mike, let us close with this. If my notes are right, this is a Boston newscaster. It's a classic old tape, but one that I've never seen before. And I don't think it could possibly be a live newscast because of the length of time they let him laugh after what he says. So the initial joke is great, but what's really awesome is how long he laughs.
You may not believe, a University of California Medical Center team has successfully removed a 200-pound ovarian tumor, 1 yard in diameter, from a 30-year-old woman. The patient was released from the hospital this week and said, it's the first time in years I've been able to cross my legs.
Still going. Still going. And Mike, as we conclude today's show, he's still laughing. You got about 20 more seconds.
I love this.
Oh, darn.
And after all that, he says, darn.
Oh, darn. That's awesome.
First time she's able to cross her legs.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, everybody, remember, get yourself a wristband. Support our show in Las Vegas. We'd appreciate it. We are so excited. We're a little over a week away from coming out to Lost Wages, Nevada. I cannot wait. It's going to be great, and we'll see you out there. Anything else I need to promote, Mr. Josh Soroka? Anything?
You've got it. You've got it. We're all set.
Wristbands,
baby. Wristbands. Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying, don't forget to vote, and so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That's the kind of comedy we specialize in. Clean, unfunny humor.
You jack with me, and you'll be gone before you know it.
What do I do?